You can see beautiful landscapes all throughout the Midwest, but very few places compared to the Driftless area, I think. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, you have deep river valleys. You have some forested hillsides. It's a very unique terrain, and I think many of the folks who live there are unique as well. And our guest today wrote about the land and the people who live in the area. In his book, it's titled Going Driftless. Stephen Lyons is also the author of three, I believe, other nonfiction books based on various regions of the U.S. And he's also a two-time recipient of a fellowship in prose writing from the Illinois Art Council. And Stephen Lyons, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you taking the time.
Larry, thanks so much for having me, and thanks for your interest in my book.
Well, it's an interesting book, and there are people listening, I'm sure, who aren't really wondering exactly where is the Driftless area. I think many people listening understand where it is, but how do you define it in your book?
Well, I define it as parts of four states with the Mississippi River running right through the heart of it. The four states are parts of southeast Minnesota, northeastern Iowa, southwestern Wisconsin, which has the largest portion of the Driftless, and just a sliver of northwest Illinois around the Galena-Savannah area. It's approximately 24,000 square miles, covers 57 counties, and it's a fascinating geological story as well. Drift, of course, refers to the deposits of gravel and rocks left behind after a glacier retreats, and during the Pleistocene epoch, there were two dozen such glacial occurrences in the area, but this area was spared those glacier advances, and so thus it's called Driftless because there's no drift.
Yeah, there's no drift, and it's quite beautiful, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gorgeous. I lived out west for 30 years, and I have to say that some of the roads I were on, some of the scenes that I saw were just as spectacular as any that I've seen in the western part of the United States. And it's very un-Midwestern, in a sense. Where I'm talking to you from here, Larry, is central Illinois, which the glaciers did, in fact, advance. And
flatter than a pancake.
Oh, you bet. You bet. And it's made for great industrial farming, corn and soybeans. That cannot really happen in the Driftless area because you cannot get big machinery into these hills and valleys. So it's created a small-time farming area that's very rich and has great ties to Madison as well for the restaurants there get much of their food and produce and cheeses and things from the Driftless region.
Absolutely. And you, and by the way, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You may have some thoughts about the Driftless area, the Driftless region. Do you live there? What do you like about it? Do you visit there often? When you visit, where do you go? What are the places, the bars, the restaurants, and the other places that you go to when you're there? Love to hear from you. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. Stephen, what was it that in the end that finally drew you to write about this region?
Well, I had been nosing around the area for a while. I had an assignment from American Airlines magazine, who I write for, to cover this area. And it occurred to me from that assignment and from other visits in the Driftless that there was a nation within a nation occurring here. Now, I go back to the 1970s to a book that a lot of us carried around with us called Ecotopia by Ernest Kallenbach. And it was about a breakaway region in the northwest part of the United States that broke away from American consumerism, from the wars and pollution that often define our nation, unfortunately, and decided it would do its own nation within a nation. They called it Ecotopia. So I started thinking about this nation within a nation, and sure enough, I saw a lot of small-scale farming in the Driftless, food co-ops, a second generation of back-to-landers, which is very important, off-the-gridders, intentional communities, There's a love of a shared love of the environment, a shared love of the arts. Music is huge. There are some flourishing small towns. There are some that aren't doing well, of course, but there are some that are flourishing, such as I would say Viroqua is doing quite well. Decorah on the other side of the river is doing well. I think Winona has incredible potential and it's got three universities. La Crosse, of course, is known. So a lot of this is happening. There's creative businesses that have come out of the sort of the 1970s back to land idealism, such as Seed Savers over in Decorah, Organic Valley, again up in the Viroqua area. These are major employers in the area, and they came out of that 1970s back to the land, know where your food comes from type of idealism. So as I write in the introduction, the Driftless region is comprised of people who did not let the flame of their idealism burn out, who did not give in to the crushing weight of what some would call the inevitable. And these are people like Robert and Summer Schultz over by Hillsboro that have a farm called...
Oh, their intern program,
Yeah, their intern program is incredible. Robert is an amazing man. He's sort of a patriarch of the area. He helped found the Driftless Folk School, which has amazing classes, everything from mead making to savanna farming. And he's, he farms with horses. He's off the grid. He homeschools his kids. He's a shining example of just a great individual person, an individualist in the Driftless area, and somebody who I respect greatly.
And has a number of interns work at his farm off and who gain great experience but also help him out.
Right. They help him. They live rent-free. They have to provide their own food, but of course they eat the produce and the eggs that are created. And I'm sure there are things that happen there that have nothing to do with back to land or with farming or with just the basic instruction. And David Cavanero over in the Decorah area also has interns on his farm. David is over 70 years old and was the number one member of Seed Savers. And he has a beautiful farm over there in northeast Iowa. And he has interns. And what he says is the magic of what happens, that people come to the Driftless from other places dealing with something in their lives and being around food, being in the soil, being in the dirt and the soil and being outside does something to them. It triggers some sort of magic happening. David is also a great example of a Driftless resident.
And thousands of plants, different types of plants.
Oh,
it's just unbelievable amount.
Yeah, it is, and it's a jungle, It's all heirloom seeds. I've had a couple of meals at David's house. Everything was made on his land. He puts a lemon tree outside during the summer months and then brings it in during the winter months. And when I interviewed him, I interviewed him first in Decorah, and then he invited me out to his farm for dinner, and I came out the next day, and he was just wearing a pair of shorts. And he said, "This is the first time I've worn clothes all year or all summer." So he's... But he has more energy than I have, that's for sure. He's really a dynamo.
Callers online to visit with you, and you can join in too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Gary in Fitchburg, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, I just tuned in, and what prompted me to call was the mention of Organic Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a resident of Fitchburg. And there's an effort in Fitchburg now that's gaining some momentum. Rather than seeing our beloved farmland out here turned into ever more houses and commercial, there's an effort here to create an organic enterprise initiative that would encourage the farm community here and local people to support organic farming. Not only just the farming part, but the processing, the whole chain. And what's interesting is the demand for organic food is kind of exploding here if you look at the data. So I just wanted to thank you for having the show, and hopefully people will listen and be supportive of this effort in Fitchburg.
No, Gary, thank you.
That's a great effort, Gary, and you're so right about organic, you know, the craving, the consumer craving now for organic foods or knowing where your food comes from. You know, back in the 70s, we were kind of laughed at for this. When I was at my failed attempt at Back to Land, so many of the things we were talking about have sort of come full circle now. And I think it's wonderful. I really think it is, and I hope you can keep development out of Fitchburg and out of that area. And I don't think this book will contribute to development. I think hopefully it won't.
No.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. We had a Facebook comment from Jeanette. She says, I urge everyone to read David Rhodes' fiction book called Driftless, one of the best books out of the Midwest. A follow-up, which I'm reading now, is Jewelweed. Mr. Lyons describes the area and people similarly.
Well, David was one of my important contacts. I had conversations with David in several different places, including Madison. David is part of another incredible story, and I won't go into the whole thing, but when I sat down to write this book, I didn't want to write the run-of-the-mill travel book. You know, if you go, where do you eat? Where do you stay? All that. But that's not in my DNA. So I searched for what I call against the grainers, people who had not given up their ideals, people who followed an unusual career track. And what I found is a lot of these stories, or some of these stories, involve grief. Hawk Stravers over in Iowa, who lost his beloved son John and his grandson Jonah to a drunk driver. The novelist David Rhodes, who your Facebook person just mentioned, losing his mobility after a motorcycle accident. The over-the-top response, the immigration raid at Postville, Iowa. And less importantly, my own personal story of letting go of many of those 70s ideals, much to my dismay. So one of the threads that runs through Going Driftless is, how do we get over stuff? How does the landscape of this particular region help heal, or at least aid in that process? And both Hawk and David, wrote some very, or gave me some incredible stories about how it helped or didn't help. And David Rhodes, you know, who had three quick novels when he came out of the Iowa writing program in the 1970s that were just highly acclaimed. I mean, he was on his way and then had a motorcycle accident that put him in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And he was writing, but he didn't like what he wrote. And he was angry and upset about his fate. But over time, living in the Driftless, he became to realize that his personal experience was, in a sense, very universal, that everyone is vulnerable, that everyone is damaged in some way. And so he told me, he said, if you leave the personal out of it, you can be universal, because we experience the world from the inside in a very personal way. We experience things with our vulnerability, the volume turned way up all the time. That's the way we go through life, feeling insecure all the time. So in many regards, he, spending all that time on his farm, not far from Robert Schultz, by the way, he came to see that he wasn't the only person damaged in the world. Once he realized that, then he could write in the way that he wanted to. And then he came out with Driftless, which is an incredible novel. And then the follow-up, which has many of the same characters, called Jewelweed, is just as incredible. David is a gem. He's just a wonderful man. And if you ever have a conversation with him, you'll see that this is somebody who thinks in a very deep way, in a very humane way as well.
Talking today with Stephen Lyons, author of Going Driftless, talking about the Driftless area of the Midwest. This includes parts, a very small part of Illinois, western Wisconsin, northeastern Iowa, and southwestern Minnesota. And he writes about the people and the land itself. In an interesting book, I had a lot of fun reading it. You can join in with your questions at 1-8 or experiences. I'd love to hear about your experiences, too. And we have some people commenting on that right now, and we'll get to them in a minute. Join us at 800-642-1234. Larry Mueller here. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. right now visiting with author Stephen Lyons, whose latest book is entitled Going Driftless, and having a lot of fun talking with him about the driftless region of the United States, which is really in the Midwest and a nice chunk of Wisconsin, as a matter of fact. Again, the number 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, and you can go to our Facebook page as well. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page. Post your question, comment, or photo there. And some nice posts to the Facebook page. Daniel sent us a note and a photo on our Facebook page with some nice trout, among other things. He says, my spring religious pilgrimage for many years has been to Crawford County for turkey hunting, morel foraging, fishing for trout, walleye, and bass. It is truly a spiritual revival for my soul. I missed my trip this year, and I really feel the void.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, some nice thoughts. And the people that you write about in your book, certainly, to them, it's almost, in a way, a religious experience living there, as you're pointing out.
It is. But what's different, and what I think I really was cheered up by when I was spent 4 years working on the book. When I lived out west, especially in Idaho, where I used to live, there's a lot of xenophobia, the fear of outsiders. One of the popular bumper stickers in Idaho was, "Welcome to Idaho, now go home." Well, when I was doing my reporting in the Driftless, I can't tell you how many times people would say, why don't you move here? Why are you living down there? Why don't you come up here and live with us? Or I would hear, next time you come up here, you're going to stay with me. And then somebody at the next table would say, no, he's going to stay with me. So the welcoming spirit among people in the Driftless, I think, has something to do, again, with the landscape itself. It's a place where you can really dream and you can be an individual, and I think that's important in this modern world. I mean, rural areas, I think on the whole, can be very healing, and the Driftless certainly has that feature to it. It's a place where you can hear yourself think, and again, be an individual.
Connie in Arcadia, thanks for waiting. Hi, what's on your mind?
I thought of the second thing as I am listening. I live on a family farm, married my husband and didn't know I was marrying a farm. And we took many years to finally sell it to a younger couple who are committed to keeping it organic. The farm has never been anything but. But I look out my kitchen window, and I have a personal cliche, I say it all the time, and I have traveled the world, you know, in China, Japan, Ethiopia, whatever. There is no place in the world more beautiful than the view from my kitchen window. The trees, the hills, the farmland, there is no place in the world truly more beautiful than this.
Oh, and that's in Arcadia area.
We're north of Arcadia, just a few miles, yep.
And
when you're on top of a hill, it's like you're in the flatland, because you know the whole area, as I understand it, was created by erosion, so that the valleys all come from the same flat area. So when you're on top of a hill, you're on top of the world, so to speak. It's truly amazingly beautiful.
Thank you so much. Comment, Stephen?
Well, it made me think of Amalia Vatz over in Decorah, who's the director of Extraordinary Lutheran Ministries. She's an advocate for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender justice in Idaho, or in Iowa, excuse me, and throughout the U.S., and she helped create this website that actually brings gay couples to Decorah to get married, because Iowa was the first state to allow same-sex marriage. But she told me about if you've been to Decorah in the upper Iowa River, they've protected the bluffs that sort of surround the town. And she refers to those bluffs as arms that hold you in. And I always thought that was a beautiful image that she gave me. And so, yes, I can understand the comments of the caller. I think there's sort of a chicken and egg thing, though, in something that probably somebody much smarter than I can figure out what comes first. But I know that Paul Theroux, the great travel writer, somebody I admire a lot, has always said there is no paradise. It's what you carry inside of yourself to an area. But what if an area brings that feeling out in yourself? What comes first? Is it the landscape itself, or is it the peace that you have within yourself when you come to a particular piece of landscape? But to attain that peace, that's the important thing, and the caller has attained that peace. There's nothing worse than what I call place envy, where you say, oh, if I only lived in Washington State, you know, my life would be bliss. And then you get there and you realize, I have nothing in common with anybody here, and I'm just as miserable as I was in Detroit. You know, so it's about peace. I remember Jack Kerouac going, being a fire lookout, and thinking, well, I'm going to be a fire lookout. I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to find peace. And he got up there, and he said, I'm still the miserable person that I've always been.
Connie, thank you so much. I really appreciate your comments.
Thank you, Connie.
And Jennifer emailed us, Jennifer in Milwaukee. She says, I'm so excited to listen to this show today. At noon, my boyfriend and I are meeting with a realtor who just sold us our little piece of heaven in DeSoto. We're both from the Milwaukee area. I cannot wait for fall, driving through the hollows and valleys. It's just stunning.
Good for her. Yeah, I wish her all the best. That's tremendous.
We have, and you know, the earlier we mentioned, I think, in passing cooperatives, and Organic Valley got mentioned, you can dream pretty big. I mean, there are, the area is there are many, many small farms and small businesses. But then we've got Organic Valley, which is kind of, I guess, in a way, made up of a number of small businesses and small farms. But it's a billion-dollar business.
Yep, billion-dollar a year, started by back-to-land dairy farmers back in the 70s. And the same with Seed Savers. This was started actually in Nebraska with Dan Whaley and her husband then at the time in their kitchen, thinking, well, we're going to preserve the seeds that came overseas with our ancestors, the immigrants that carried them in their pockets through Ellis Island and other entry points. And we're going to make these seeds available to everybody. We're not going to lock them up like Monsanto does with soybean seeds. You know, everybody can have access to these heirloom seeds. Well, now it's such a huge, huge business. It's not as big as Organic Valley. But I hope everyone has a chance to go over and visit Seed Savers Exchange, because it's $2 million a year in revenue at the time that I wrote the book, 50 full-time employees, 13,000 members from 50 states, 40 countries. They have access to these thick yearbooks that list 20,000 varieties. I mean, you can look at 5,000 varieties of tomatoes, yeah. 900 varieties of peppers, 1,500 varieties of beans. You know, I had no idea that but in each of these seeds, what's amazing in the story that I tell in the book with a couple of the seeds, Phoebe's lima beans, for instance, is they actually have a seed historian on staff, a full-time paid with benefits seed historian that tracks the history of the seeds that are given to them. Sometimes they'll get a seed in the mail that just says, you know, grandma grew these in Waverly, Iowa, or something like that, and they trace those seeds to their history. And it's a fascinating job. I can't imagine a better job is to trace the history of these seeds, because it's the history of our country.
Yeah.
History of our melting pot, our immigration. And so I hope people have a chance to go over to Decor, to Seed Savers, to visit the visitor center, to walk the beautiful trails and grounds that they have. And I think they have a tomato tasting festival every year also over there.
Boy, that would be one not to miss.
Yeah.
There. Oh, my goodness. Jane in Lac des Flambeaux, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just was wondering if Stephen could comment on the Driftless Brewing Company. It's located in Soldier's Grove. It's a craft beer upstart company. It's got some of the best beers I've ever tasted. You can buy them locally. they also use local ingredients, and it's the nicest people trying to get the business going, and I just think it's such a cool new thing to the area.
Oh, that's wonderful. Stephen?
I don't know much. I don't know about it, but you just defined it perfectly, and it's certainly similar to many of the small businesses that have popped up in the region as well. A great place to taste beer and to hang out is Ed's No Name Tavern, No Name Bar in Winona. Ed comes from Winona originally, but went to Seattle, kind of learned the craft beer business there, and then brought that back to Winona and set up a bar. He was so busy cleaning this old building out and establishing his business that he forgot to name it. And so he just said, it had No Name Bar. And it's a very comfortable place. It was before Minnesota passed their no smoking in public places law, he had no smoking. So brought in sort of a different clientele than was usual. The one in Soldier's Grove sounds great. I'm going to have to go over there and try it.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim and Butternut, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm a visitor to Viroqua, and I live in Butternut, which is 5 hours north. But my son discovered Viroqua and was a Robert Schultz intern and now is an assistant manager at the Viroqua Food Co-op. He's part of the Driftless Folk School. He designed things for their harvest parade. They have an amazing farmer's market every Saturday. He does all the things, and it is my escape to Viroqua, especially since the Driftless Cafe reopened recently, and they won Best of Madison, as did a couple of other of the businesses in and around Viroqua. And Viroqua is about 90 miles from Madison, but it has an impact on the area, not just on Viroqua itself. So it's been a real pleasure to discover Viroqua and the land. I had studied geology in Illinois back as a student, and so the features of the Driftless region became cleverly, enticing to see what it is. And the trout streams there are amazing. But they are Viroqua and has a new Driftless Folk School campus that was donated, and they've been building. The folk school is, of course, from hundreds of years of Danish tradition, and my son also taught. He taught brewing, and he taught woodworking. And so the community has been very accepting of everyone, as your author mentioned, and I'm looking forward to getting the book.
Wow.
Oh, that's great. Thanks so much. And I couldn't have put it any better. Another great feature of Viroqua is what Eddie Nix is doing. Eddie's kind of the de facto mayor of Viroqua, one of the first people I met in the Driftless region. Eddie has Driftless books and out of an old tobacco warehouse. Tobacco was grown in this region at one time, so it's an old tobacco warehouse that he bought. And
and he's got books.
Oh, does he have books? Yeah. When he started the bookstore, they ordered some books off of eBay, and then like a semi truck pulled up. So it was really something. But Eddie also, this area, Forgotten Works is what he calls it, is the center of slow media in the region. Slow media meaning string music, square dancing or folk dancing, books, things that slow us down. The great thing about reading, I've always thought, is that it just slows you down. It makes you go at a pace that your mind can deal with, instead of looking at all the screens that we look at during the day and everything else. It forces you to sit down and slow down. And Eddie is a great person, really a wonderful entrepreneur and provocateur, and somebody that I think everyone should meet and go into Driftless Books. Go to Driftless Cafe, spend a couple of days in Viroqua, and I think that you'll feel a little more positive about the human race.
Uh-huh.
Put it that way.
And Jim, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Williman Colfax Up next. Hi, Willem. Thanks for calling.
I live in a very beautiful area, too, with all its hills and the beauty of the region. And I've visited Seed Savers and purchased seeds and grow them in our garden. And we try to raise as much food on our own as we can for ourselves and then support local agriculture. And I've been a member of a co-op since the mid-70s. And I've never really given up on the ideals of that, you know, back-to-the-land movement, the Nearings, Helen and Scott Nearing, a book by E.F. Schumacher, Small is Beautiful, which really speaks to this kind of diversity of economic activity where, you know, music and food and all sorts of things can make a local economy thrive. And what I'm concerned about, I guess, is losing that beauty, at least in the area where I live, and I think parts of the Driftless area, too, to, you know, to the hedge fund investors and out-of-state oil and gas money that is fueling this frac sand mining in our area. I never in my wild, I've lived here for 30 years, I never in my wildest dreams thought that someone would start taking these hills down, tens of thousands of acres of farmland and woodland and all this, you know, for international oil and gas corporations. And I think it really, with the Pope's encyclical about how we should take care of our earth, I think it's really important that people inform themselves about this because it's a real threat to our state.
And well said, and I think you always have to be vigilant. I've always said, in living in a lot of beautiful places, that beautiful places are damned. I mean, they're targets. Everyone wants to live there, sometimes just part-time. I mean, I remember being in Sun Valley, Ketchum, Idaho, and seeing these homes that are only occupied for a week at a time. Huge, you know, giant homes, or one home where you were not allowed to step in the snow around it because it would ruin the look of it. But yes, you have to be vigilant all the time at resource exploitation because these areas are rich in resources and people want them. And that was a great statement that the Pope made, and I hope people listen to it. But looking at the Supreme Court decision today, there's a long way to go in healing the earth, but the people in the Driftless are committed to that, and I think that's important. It's important to push against it, to push against the wheel of so-called progress, which is mostly not progress.
Well, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's give Eric a chance to join in, too. Eric, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. I went to school in La Crosse for a number of years and, you know, fell in love with the area. And my question, you know, you talked about, like, place envy, other people, you know, thinking they're going to find their paradise going to another place. And I really like what you said about, you know, it's inside of you. But I was wondering, have you found other places in the United States or that have been trying to mimic or do the same thing as the Driftless region with the, you know, local farming and things like that? Is this like pushing out into other areas and they're looking at the Driftless region for, you know, how-tos?
Inspiration, okay.
Well, I think you can look to the Driftless for that, but certainly there are other areas that lend themselves to this. Not down here so much in central Illinois, but other places I've lived, such as Moscow, Idaho, for instance, have some of these same attributes going on, less of a growing season, of course, being up there. You do find other places, but I think the Driftless is unique and can be used as an example. And again, you know, the fact that places like Seed Savers and Organic Valley are such huge employers, or that every store on the main street of Decorah is filled with a small business, this is something that other communities should look at. What's happened a lot in a place like Decorah is that residents left. They left and had their careers, and they're out there in maybe bigger settings, bigger cities, and they realize they're missing something. And what they're missing is what they had at home in a place like Decorah. So they come back to the community, but they now have come back with all these incredible skills. And that's what makes a community like Decorah work so well, is the engagement it's expected that you will be involved in this community. And it's a rare thing that that happens like that.
Yeah, it really is. Eric, thanks again for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Paul in Madison, your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to tell my little bit of the Driftless story. I am a veteran and an emergency room nurse, and I, a few years ago, picked up fly fishing and spent all my days off. I have this great schedule out and go out there fishing 2, 3, 4 times a week until I got married and had kids, of course. I hardly get out there, but that place, so important to me, it almost brings tears to my eyes just talking about it. I started a company last year called Restoration Cider Company,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to use the brand to sort of raise awareness of the Driftless area. There's a lot of people that in Wisconsin and Madison that have never even heard of it, and we want to get people out there and enjoying the beauty so that we can have more people who want to protect it. Anyway, we just kegged our first kegs of cider last week, and
congratulations.
Hopefully it'll be on sale in Madison soon, and hopefully at the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. So,
wonderful.
And we'll put some of the issues on stream preservation on our website. So,
excellent. That's a great way of combining business with advocacy at the same time. I applaud you for that. I can't wait to try your cider.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul, for calling. Appreciate it. And just as here we are about out of time, but the cider reminded me of a couple of your chapters where you talk about actually the actual flavor of the apples that are grown there. It they're different. The food there in general is just different.
And it was Michelle Miller from University of Wisconsin that really talked to me a lot about the flavor, the flavor of the Driftless. She is a flavor. The cheeses have a certain flavor. They fit a flavor profile. So, yes, there's definitely a Driftless flavor. And I think super tasters, of which I am not, would recognize it right away. And again, many of these products are in the restaurants in Madison. There's a direct line there from farm to table in Madison.
Well, Stephen, it's been a real pleasure to be able to talk with you about your book. Yeah, I hope it's selling well. Is it doing well?
I think it is, yeah. I think it's really finding a home, and it's resonating with a lot of people. It's great. You know, I'm very happy with the results of it, and very happy to talk to you about it as well.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. I really appreciate it. Stephen Lyons, and his last name is Lyons, Stephen Lyons, author of Going Driftless, Life Lessons from the Heartland for Unraveling Times. And a lot of interesting chapters in there in his book. An interesting story of the Driftless area of Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa. And I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy reading it. And I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy our next guest coming up as we take a look at weather, climate, and a whole bunch of things relating to weather and climate next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.